Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message is our Palm Sunday Gospel from Luke chapter 19. I'd like to highlight verse 38, where the whole multitude of Jesus' followers shout out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This is our text. All right, so first of all, I have a question. Does anyone here know, honestly, I don't want anybody making up the answer to this, as some of you like to do, okay? Does anyone actually know what a Demodex is?
No.
A Demodex. You don't know what a Demodex is? Well, a Demodex, I didn't know until this week, okay? A Demodex is a microscopic bug, we can't see it with our own eyes, a microscopic bug that lives on our eyelashes. When all is in balance, the way God has designed it, they are completely harmless, even beneficial, because they eat the excess skin cells, hormones, and oils that accumulate in and around our eyelash follicles. Now, to the Demodex, your eyelashes are their entire world. They know nothing about the bigger picture of your body without which they could not survive. Now, I'm sharing this, of course, not to freak any of you out. Don't go looking for these in the mirror and those kinds of things. But to help us possibly comprehend how much greater God and His plans for us are than what we can ever possibly imagine. For example, can any of us absolutely know where we will be 5 years from now? No. Well, how about next year? How about next month, anybody? What about even tomorrow? We can, and it's good for us to make plans, but that doesn't mean that they will actually come to fruition. Why not? Because, folks, we are not the ones who are actually in charge. We are able to control, we are not in charge. We are not able to control all things, down to the smallest detail, like the Demodex on our eyelashes. But there is one who does know the big picture of this creation in which we live. He even tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares Yahweh, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And He even checks our selfish desire to know it all, which in one way or another we all like to think we are know-it-alls, to know it all in the limited role that He has for us when He says in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Here in Luke's account of Jesus, our King's entrance into Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week, we see a number of instances that show us that Jesus, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the one triune God, is the only one who truly understands and has our big picture well in hand. Clearly, He has been working out every detail well in advance, even foretelling some of those details in this story centuries earlier, to leave no question for us that this is His plan being worked out, to leave no excuse, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for the people there in Jerusalem and for you and me. No excuse for us not to fully embrace what Luke has recorded here in Holy Scripture as the full and the accurate account of our Savior and King entering on the colt to suffer and die, to do it in our place, according to His plan, from the time He first promised it to Adam and Eve back in the garden. I mean, just look at how Jesus tells His disciples every detail in advance of what will happen when they enter into the village. Verses 30 and 31, Jesus says, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, and on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Okay. So what actually happens? Verses 32 to 34. "So those who were sent went away and found it just as He had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Every detail fulfilled, just as He said it would happen. Besides the fact that the owner was willing to let them take his colt just because Jesus said He needed it. And what was Jesus' plan here? Verses 35 and 36. "They brought the colt to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as He rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road." This is a clear indication that the people believe that Jesus is their King. You see, throwing their garments on the ground was the common sign that the people were willingly humbling themselves under the reign and rule of the one passing over their garments. And even the fact that Jesus would be riding in on a colt upon which no one had ever sat was both the cultural sign of royalty and humility to follow the greater plan of God. He is the one who led the prophet Zechariah some 500 years earlier to prophesy to these details, saying, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Is He humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey?" And now, 500 years later, Jesus fulfills it all without a hitch. The most significant part of God's plan, though, is what we hear declared next in verses 37 and 38. There's two parts to this plan. Because mankind's sin has caused a separation, a cosmic conflict in two different realms of God's creation. The first is the way that our sinful thoughts, words, and deeds have corrupted, degraded, and ruined the peace that God first created here on earth. That's where humans first lived in the garden, in harmony with all of the animals and plants, and especially with each other. But after our rebellion against God, women are now cursed to give birth with great pain. Anybody can testify to that? Yeah, I know better than to ask that. And it is only with great toil and hardship that we are able to grow food and steward and take care of the rest of creation according to God's perfect will. Now, we hurt and harm each other daily. Now, we face illness, disease, and death, famine and war, greed and pride-dominated conflict every day. And that is why God the Father so loved the world that He gave His only Son, as John 3:16 says. In fact, He sent Jesus to us here in our own human flesh. Why? Just as the angels proclaimed it at His birth, Glory to God in the highest, and here it is, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see, God sent Jesus from heaven to bring his peace to us here on earth, to restore his creation one mighty miraculous work at a time. During those 3 years that Jesus taught God's truth and revealed himself to be the perfect Son of God. This is why verse 37 in our text tells us that, quote, the whole multitude of Jesus' disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. All the mighty works that they had seen. What are those mighty works? Well, you would all be going to bed later tonight by the time we were able to list all of the signs and miracles and works that Jesus did in his time on earth to reveal his godly ability to restore peace here to God's sin-filled creation. But there were, for example, the instances where Jesus did things like turning water into wine to help out a new couple at their wedding. Or when he calmed the wind and the waves, when his disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee and caused them to catch so many fish that their boat was about to sink. Or when he fed thousands of people by increasing only a handful of fish and bread as a sign that he came to feed souls with himself as the bread of life. And then Jesus showed his love and ability to restore our ill, diseased, and deformed bodies, curing people of deadly diseases and chronic conditions, causing the blind, deaf, mute, and crippled people to see, hear, speak, and jump again for joy. And of course, he showed his power over Satan, his demons, and all that is evil by the many instances when he cast out demons and restored peace within those people's lives deep into their spirit. Jesus even revealed his power over the greatest peace killer of all, death. By resurrecting one young man and one young girl before he raised his good friend Lazarus, only 6 days before the events that we are looking at here today. So now that Jesus had clearly exhibited his peace-restoring power here on earth, it was time for him to bring the fullest extent of God's plan to fruition, the part that would impact God's entire creation here in time on earth, yes, but even more for all of eternity above and beyond his earthly realm. And that's what God leads the people to declare next in verse 38. Words that none of them could fully comprehend when those words first passed over their lips that day. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, they shouted, and glory in the highest. Peace in heaven. Now, how could any normal man of human flesh and blood ever bring about peace in heaven? It's impossible. Only God can do that, right? But hang on just a minute. Why isn't there peace in heaven to begin with? Because you and I, my friends, and all of mankind had broken God's heart. Our sin required that we, in fact, be separated from our perfect Creator in death. Twice, in Ezekiel 18:4 and again in Ezekiel 18:20, God declares, quote, the soul who sins shall die, unquote. That is the exact opposite of why God first created us, male and female, in His image. His intent was that we would live forever in peace with each other and in perfect union with Him as our God alone. And that is why Jesus is riding into Jerusalem here in our gospel reading today, to restore the peace in heaven, to bring you, me, and all of mankind back together with our God. But for any chance of that to happen, the penalty for all of our sin must first be paid. Someone who had never sinned even once must take that punishment and die, or true justice could not be met. And as Deuteronomy 32, verse 4 declares, ours is a God, quote, of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is He. That, my friends, is why Jesus is now entering into Jerusalem, to go to the cross with the sins of all mankind, including yours and mine, upon His perfect shoulders, to bring peace in heaven. It's just as Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19, that, quote, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So it is just as the people shouted, glory in the highest. In other words, none of this is to our credit. None of it is our doing. We are sinners to the core. It is all to Jesus' glory. He is the King. He is the Savior of the world, because He is the only one able to save us from the death and condemnation in hell that we all deserve. And so the people's cry that day becomes our cry here today. Hosanna! Which literally means, save us now! That's why the Pharisees were so upset in verse 39. Why they even demanded that Jesus rebuke the people for shouting that. Because to them, the very idea of Jesus being able to save people from sin would be to call on Him to do what only God could do. And so Jesus, He answers them with a declaration that only God can make. If these people were silent, the very stones would cry out. What a perfect answer from the one who actually created the stones and everything else. For we are told in Romans 8, verse 22, that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Because all of creation yearns for that peace to be restored back to the way things were when God first created it. Now, friends, in Jesus our King, that peace has been restored in heaven. And at His return, it will be restored fully here in the new earth as well. So Psalm 98, verse 7 and 8 says, let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together. Yes! All of God's people shout in joy. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Only Jesus could do all of that. Only Jesus could fulfill God's salvation plan to perfection. And He has done it for you and for me. To Him be all the glory. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. and keep you with him today and forevermore. Amen.